And your mother was a singer, right?
Still is. My mom sang. She's now strictly doing jazz, and she performs in different parts of the world. And it's just a sweet. And it's really interesting, too, because, you know, when you're a kid and your parents kind of saying things to you, they get in there, but you kind of, oh, mom, be quiet kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when I zoom out and I and look at it, she really taught me about finding something you love and being super passionate about it. That just taught me so much without me even knowing it. It's really quite inspiring.
Welcome to Talk Shop. I'm Ariel Oaken, a New York-based interior designer, writer, and editor looking to bring a little bit of magic into our homes every day. After years as a writer and editor in the interiors world, I founded my own editorial site, Fenimore Lane, in 2020, and the Talk Shop interview series was born. Each week, I delve into the personal experiences of the top interior designers and tastemakers around the globe. This week, I'm joined by the fabulous Bridget Romanek, an award-winning AD100 interior designer based in Los Angeles. Bridget founded her eponymous firm in 2018 and has an uncanny ability to create stunning interiors that delight without sacrificing livability. Bridget's years traveling, curating, reading, and experiencing interior spaces and nature's beauty all inspire her approach to design. Never trendy, her spaces are fresh, functional, and aesthetically alive. And her star-studded client list is expansive, including Gwyneth Paltrow, Demi Moore, Joe Jonas, Christian Bale, Beyoncé and Jay-Z, just to name a few. Livable Luxe, Bridget's first book out now, is a collection of personal stories and distinctive residential interiors that highlight the luxurious yet casual homes in her roster, from Los Angeles to New York. I also chatted with her in the middle of an install, so excuse the noise. Please join me as we welcome the lovely Bridget to the podcast. Bridget, thank you so, so, so much for joining the podcast. I am thrilled to have you on, and I am just so happy to chat with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled you reached out, and I'm very happy to be here. So, and excited to chat with you too.
Yay. Well, for those who don't know, Bridget and I met, we both did the Embello Show House this past summer. She did such a beautiful, beautiful space there, and I was struck not only by your talent, but your kindness and warmth. I was so happy to get to be on some panels with you. So I'm just so thrilled to have you on today. And a huge congrats on being nominated for an NAACP Image Award for your book, Livable Luxe. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I was just like, just blown away. And I continue to be. And it's really funny, too, because when you hear people say, I'm happy to have just been nominated, and you kind of go, yeah, right, whatever. No, it's really genuinely, it's true. Yep, it's really true. Like, I'm just blown away and grateful.
So well deserved and so amazing. Well, to kick off the conversation, we've been asking everyone who comes on, can you describe your style in three words or less?
Let me see. Definitely eclectic, whimsical, and a very overused word, but true. I would say classic.
Yeah, it is. I feel like there really is such a through line in all of your work. And I have Livable Luxe. It's such a great book.
Thank you.
And I think one of the through lines through your work is there's an eclecticism of like perfectly imperfect, but it's also really curated and very elegant. And so I think those three words kind of perfectly encompass that.
Thank you. You know, life isn't perfect, you know, and I just feel like,
there's
really no such thing. And so trying to, or wanting to have what's in quotes, perfect space is sometimes can feel, for me, not cozy or not comfortable. I think your home, you should 100% be able to exhale when you get through the door and just enjoy, really. So my goal is to bring, you know, beauty, comfortable, just all the things that make you feel good into your rooms. So
yeah. And that's what makes you want to stay at home too, and have people over and entertain.
Yeah, it's true.
Can you walk us through your career? Because you are entirely self-taught, which I find so inspiring because I am too, and I love hearing stories like that. And I think sometimes designers can think outside of the box a little more in a way when they're coming to projects with sort of like a varied life experience. And you have done so much before you were a designer. So can you tell everyone a little bit about that? Because that's incredible.
I've always been creative. So that's like been the through line. I love to create. And that the joy that brings, I think, just sort of just makes it. So I'm constantly looking at ways to do things and that are a little bit different or a little bit unusual. And that's just always been my path. So I as a singer, so again, creating music, writing songs.
Which I think is so cool.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I loved it. I really did love it. And then also a handbag designer.
It's amazing. But there's such, like you said, there's creativity in every aspect of this. And your mother was a singer, right?
Absolutely. She still is. My mom sang. She is now strictly doing jazz and she performs in different parts of the world. And it's just a sweet thing. And she loves it. And it's really interesting too, because, you know, when you're a kid and your parents kind of saying things to you, they get in there, but you kind of, oh, mom, be quiet kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when I zoom out and I look at it, she really taught me about finding something you love and being super passionate about it.
Mm. And that's so important. I think it's like something that people sometimes never learn in life. And like, what a gift to be able to learn it at a time where you can pivot and have this career that you just feel so fulfilled by.
I completely, completely agree. And she is just the embodiment of finding something you love and sticking with it, you know, and she's lives in LA, but she's now in New Hampshire recording an album. You know,
she just, that's amazing.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm going to go do it. I want to do it. And so she's recording a jazz album and I'm so excited for her. And she calls me at the end of her day and she's so happy about what she's done. And, you know, she's like, oh, my vocals today, it was great. And she's having the best time. And that just taught me so much without me even knowing it, you know,
right.
And her having the courage to do something she wasn't trained for, to do something she just felt was her calling, if you will. You know, it's really quite inspiring.
I think about that a lot too, because my mom always used to take me to like the bookstore and we would go and sit and look at art books on the floor, even when I was a little kid, like elementary school. And when I zoom out, I'm like, oh, it makes so much sense that this is what I loved and didn't think could be a job because it felt like fun. And it ended up being a career. And when I was doing my day job that I was so unhappy about, she was the one that was like, you need to leave.
Oh, man, it's good stuff. It's good stuff to have someone in your life that you can look to.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, you leave your music career behind, you become a handbag designer.
Yes.
And you start designing for friends kind of like on the side, right?
Yeah, it was one of these two things that came together that really pushed me forward in design. And one being that we were living in London and I really loved that energy. I loved the culture. I loved that European old school, just the soulfulness of it all.
Yeah.
And so when we were moving back to Los Angeles, I said, I really want to move into an area and a place that has that same feel. And Los Angeles and the walkability, you know, that can be a bit of a challenge. So finding that area was everything to me. And so it was Hancock Park, and there was a house in Hancock Park. We had to do it quickly. And so finding this house, I took some friends with me and they said, you absolutely cannot take this house. It is horrible. What has been done to this house is absolutely awful. And I could just see what the house should be. And I told them to just trust me, watch what I do. And cut to, you know, 6 weeks later, it had a house that we all really loved. And I had handbags in the garage. And I thought, these handbags, I've got to do something with these handbags, because I hadn't been doing it for a couple of years because we had moved to London and I wanted to be with my girl, really focus on my girls. So I hadn't been.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll have a sample sale or something just to move these bags. Doing that was pretty incredible because people came and they bought bags, but mostly they liked the house. And so some.
Oh my God. It's like doing a show house, basically, unintentionally.
Exactly. Good way to look at my first show house. Someone said to me, can you help me? And I kind of thought, oh, okay, sure, I'll help you. And I wasn't taking it seriously. It was just really fun to do. Then when we were moving and we were interviewing architects for our new house, every time someone would come in, they were telling me what I couldn't do. Anyone we were interviewing, you can't do this. Well, why? Well, you just don't do that. And I thought, oh, well.
Well, why?
So that was always my question. Well, why are you saying this? Well, what's the logic behind that? And of course, there was logic there and there was good reasoning there. But I still questioned, well, does that work for me?
Right.
And so that really propelled me forward because I felt like it didn't work for me. And I ended up choosing the architect to work with that made me laugh. And we had a good time and the energy was really, we were really great together and we're friends to this.
I love that.
Yeah. And we did some really fun, unusual things. And that house turned out to be an Arc Digest and not with me working as a designer, but just more so because someone said, you know, I heard that house, I heard what you've done there is amazing. And then they came to see it and it was published. But had I gone with really quite incredible and capable architects, but had I gone with the more conservative approach, it would have been a very different house. And so I loved that this person, I was like, yes, let's go for it. Let's try it.
That's also such a good lesson in trusting your intuition, whether it's about interiors or your career, just kind of knowing what's right for you and really following that, even if it, you know, if the outside chatter is saying, no, 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 that's not how it's done. I mean, look what you did. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we had fun and it really, and I say this in the most loving ways, like it's regarding myself, my ignorance was bliss and not ignorance right. In a bad way. You know, it was just like, let's go for it.
It's so funny you say that. I spoke to Jake Arnold last season and he said the same thing about starting his own firm. He said, ignorance was bliss. And he's like, I don't know if I would have done it if I knew what it entailed, but thank God I did. yeah. Which I thought was so funny. You decided to found your own firm.
I did.
And now how many are you now? You're like exploding. It's amazing.
Kind of boggles my mind in such a beautiful way. It was me and it was someone to assist me. And then it was an office manager. Now, did I need an office manager with a team of two? Not really. But I kind of thought,
you got to stay organized.
All right. It's like, okay, probably that works. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So we started and that was like 5 years ago. And now we are 12.
Wow.
Two in New York and some that work part-time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like eclecticism, like you had said earlier, and sort of this like perfectly imperfect layered approach is really what your portfolio is about in such a beautiful, refreshing way. And I feel like every project in your portfolio looks different and really reflects the owner, but still has that through line in it. Is there a favorite element about the design process for you?
Ooh, I love the install.
Yeah, so transformative.
There's so much leading up to it. You know, there are all of the details that we have to really be aware of and on top of.
Because it's not just being creative, it's being a people person, it's being super organized, running a business. It's a lot of different things rolled up into one. It's, you know, service business.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the thing too, you know, it's understanding those parts of it because they are really important and big parts of the job. And I think the furniture part is actually not as big a part as you would think.
Yes.
In the respect that, yes, learning to speak the science of your client and what's important to them and what they want and finding those pieces and sourcing those pieces, that's really hugely important, obviously, because that's the end result and what we're all there for.
Right.
But the business side and the, you know, the day-to-day of it all.
Yeah, it's all details. It's logistic.
All the details is really important, hugely important. I mean, a funny story for me was picking a sofa. This was when I was first starting, but like picking a sofa for an apartment building in New York City.
Oh, God. Did you not get it through? Because that happened to me, too.
Yeah, I was just like,
okay, that happened to me. And we didn't measure the interior of the door casing. I had just started. This is like 10 or 11 years ago. And we tried to get it up and we're like all freaking out in the back service stairwell of the apartment building. And like the supers yelling at us. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just never going to get a job again.
Exactly. You said, oh my gosh, how could I have made this mistake? And what?
But then it works out and then you figure it out and then you find, you know, the sofa doctor who comes and cuts it with a chainsaw and somehow manages to sew it back together without making it look like it was cut. And it all works out. And then it's like a life experience.
Really true. And it is funny. It's like you said, you know yourself. You're like, okay, I can surmount these things and I can handle these mm-hmm. things. And then some people are like, not for me.
You really love it when that happens and you're like, yeah, I'm good. Let's sign another project.
That's what I think about that all the time too, because I feel like even on its most challenging day, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Mm-hmm. You have to tell your client, this isn't arriving, or this has come in the wrong color, because it happens.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, it happens. It's just part of it. When you finally get there, I love it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. When you are designing a room, what do you think is the most important? I've heard you say before that you think about designing as if a home is like a movie and each room is a different scene, but then there has to be the through line like in a movie. And that really stuck with me. I think that's such a beautiful analogy.
Oh, thank you so much. I think about that and really look at it through that lens every day, because I want there to be a through line. I want there to be a story. And the story is really all about the family and what's important to them, mm-hmm. what holds it all together. That's what brings it all together. That's what helps to write the story. So I think that's really important. And that's really genuinely the way I view it all. It's a movie.
I love that. I mean, it's so true and it's so beautiful. And I think that's why when you're looking through your book, that it's all sort of coming from your mind, but each project is really unique and different. And that's because it's about the client and their life. And I think that's kind of the most exciting thing about what we do.
I do too. And that's what makes it new every time.
Yes. And fun.
Yeah. And fresh. And a challenge in the best way possible that keeps your mind just, just going and changing and being challenged and all those really great things. Because for me, if those things stop, what are we doing? What's the point?
Right.
I never want to stop learning. I never want to stop growing. I never want to stop getting better. So design represents that for me. It really does.
Is there a design rule that you kind of always follow? Or do you think there's one that you think is like specifically made to be broken?
All of them.
I love that answer. Yes.
that is my rule. There's no rules.
And that's why everything you do looks so different and cool, because you're like, you just go with your gut. And that's really great. Design stands out because it looks different than everything else. And I think we live in such an oversaturated world when it comes to design that when someone's really following their gut instinct and going for what they think looks great, like that's just going to shine.
I agree with that so much, because I appreciate 1,000,000%. I appreciate sometimes, you can look and you see someone's work and you like, oh, that's that person's work. Oh, that's that person's work. And you see these really spectacular spaces in rooms. And I get that. I want to create individuality.
Reflects the client. Like you can see it in your book. And I think that's a really, really serious talent to have, because it's really hard to, you're basically starting fresh every single time. And that's what keeps it new. And that's what makes it harder to do. So I think that's really an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys something, but don't tell anybody. I just got a tattoo. And it obviously, I'm not going to share everything that it means to me, because it's one of those really personal things. But it says begin again.
Oh, I love that. And it applies to this too, right? Like the freshness of every new project and the freshness of just kind of having that blank slate and starting over with a client each time. Like,
absolutely.
And loving that process. I mean, what a joy.
Yeah. But don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
We're not telling anyone. This is completely Looking back through your career, and you've done so many different sort of like facets in the creative field, have you had a mentor in your career? And if so, how have they sort of helped to shape your trajectory at all?
I haven't, in the sense that there's no designer that I've gone to. What I love about what we do is we're all so supportive of each other.
I feel that way too. I feel like the interiors world is so nice and collaborative.
Oh my gosh. It's just, it's such a great community of people. And I have great friends in this business, and we go and we talk about things and we share any information or how we can improve thing. And that part I really, really love. Like David Netto I'm just like a brother.
He's the coolest.
He's the coolest. Jake is a brother. Martin, like I feel very, very, very lucky to have these people around me, and we just...
And to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, I really agree with you. And I think it's really wonderful to have such a supportive group of people. So in terms of mentor, I have to say my mom and my grandma.
I was going to say, I feel like your mom. I feel like that's like...
100%.
Her story kind of shaped your story, and that's so beautiful.
100%. And continues to. She always comes in always with a smile on her face and working to make things better or figure them out.
That's amazing. I'm super close with my mom too, so that very much resonates with me.
Yeah.
And your first book is now out, which Livable Lux is...
My gosh.
Such a dream. I loved looking through it. It's so beautiful. What was the experience of deciding to write a book like, and, you know, picking the interiors you were going to share?
Well, it was a challenge. So different publishing houses had reached out to me, which is just blows my mind unto itself. But I kept feeling like, no, I don't want to do it just now. Why would someone want to hear from me? I don't know that I have anything to share. And gosh, there are so many books out there with pretty images. And but as I did sort of more talks, ran into other designers, a lot of their questions were about, how did you do this? And how did it happen? And I think for a few reasons, being that I've come on the scene in just a few years, I'm doing okay. And then also that I'm African-American. And so I started to see why the book should happen.
Yeah.
And I wanted, yes, obviously pretty images, but I also wanted to tell a story of, if this is what you want to do, you have to believe in yourself and go for it and take what was once a hardship or a really tough time or a challenge, turn it into something that's beneficial for you. You might not see it yet, but that could really turn into something, you know, and maybe it's for a reason. Now, for instance, I didn't always live with my mom. And so I was always traveling to different places with different people, different homes, you know, family members. And she was, you know, she could. But
yeah,
during that time, it was really hard for me. But now I look at that, I'm like, oh, all those different environments and the different people,
realities
and cities I lived in, I use all of that in my design now. You know?
So interesting. And also everything your mom was exposed to. I mean, she toured with all these incredible musicians. I feel like you see so much of that era also in your work too. Like there's this sort of like luxe 70s, like sexy, undone amazingness that happens in your work that I think kind of probably is informed by that time too.
Oh, all of it. That's the thing. And you don't even know it's getting in there. You don't know that it is in your body and in your brain. Mm-hmm. That's going to be something you can later use as fuel. And that's really why I said yes to the book in the end and finally said yes, is because I thought that if that's what I can impart on someone, to believe in themselves, not even if it's not in interior design, but just knowing that you can go for it.
Yeah.
That was an important thing to me. And obviously pretty images are important in an interior design book.
But it's so much more substantial when there's a great story behind it. And I think, you know, there are so many interior design books with beautiful imagery, but maybe like the text isn't that life-changing. And to have both, I mean, that's what makes it worthy of being a bestseller, which it is, and being nominated for the award, which you just were. I mean, the book is phenomenal.
Thank you.
So a little about you. I find it so full circle and appropriate, given your musical background, that your gorgeous home, which I've seen you do tours of, is in Laurel Canyon, which is so rich in music history. And it once belonged to Rick Rubin, which, I mean, talk about music history. Tell me a little bit about that home and how special it is to you, and what do you think your home says about you?
Oh my gosh. Well, it was really one of those things that was just kismet and sort of the planet aligned, because it doesn't make any sense. Mark sent me an email, and I'll never forget it. The subject was, you know, don't get too excited. And of course, I'm like, well, I'm excited. You
know, that's a great lead in.
Right? I was like, what do you mean? And it told me that we were getting the house. It was, okay, this is amazing, but I'd never been in it. I know.
Oh my God.
I'd never been in it. And I knew that it had history, and I knew that, you know, famous musicians had lived there. So the walls probably had great stories to tell.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it. And I literally walked in and I cried because I thought, what do I do with this?
That is like such a goosebumps moment. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really, I didn't have a clue as to how to proceed. And here's a great tip for all of us as designers, one step at a time, one room at a time.
Yes.
You know, don't get overwhelmed by the process. And so that's how I had to approach it. You know, and my mom, she was great because I said, well, you know, I think it needs this, it needs this, it needs this. And she said, okay, let's not conflate it. Let's take it one step at a time. And that's what we did. And that's where I worked with that architect who I absolutely just love and has become a good friend. Yeah, the result is just a lot of love, a lot of being creative because it didn't have, you know, an endless budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thinking about how we wanted to live in the space, and
it's so personal. And I think to your point about one step at a time and you know, one room at a time, I think Instagram makes it feel like even designers like do their house all at once and blah, blah, blah. And that's just not true. Like everyone does it a little bit at a time. And that's what makes a house feel like a home and makes it feel layered and collected and feel personal.
Absolutely. It's really great that you bring up, like, I love Pinterest as a tool. And I think it's really quite helpful and a way for us to be able to see maybe things in pieces that our clients like or you know, have a strong like for, you know, a piece or something. But strategically, I just thought about how do I help my client? And this is a client that I love so much. When we're having the best time. But I thought, how can I help my client to see that just putting images together doesn't make a room?
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all of your items and I'm going to create a room with what, you know, with what you're showing me that you love. And it was really great because I put it together and she went, oh, get it.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. I just thought it was a really helpful way even for her to understand that design is so much more than painting images.
You have two daughters.
I do too.
And you run your business full time and you've done furniture lines and you have a book. How do you balance it all? Do you have any advice for moms in the industry who are trying to do it all, quote unquote, which is not possible?
Exactly. That's why I was stumbling. I was like, I wish.
Yeah, it's not possible.
I think being easy on yourself and being realistic is really key.
Yeah.
Because we see so much noise that tells us how we're supposed to do things and almost making you feel like, gosh, if I can't do that, I can't achieve that. Am I failing?
Yep.
And the answer is absolutely not. And our stories are our individual stories. You know, essentially I was thinking like, I have a startup business, you know, it's, which usually means that you work a lot of hours and, you know, and you are giving it your all and you want to come home and probably collapse, but that's not really an option. So figuring out your timing with things and really, really being realistic. When we take on a job, instead of maybe saying to the client, I can get this done in 2 weeks, tell them it's going to take me 4.
Yes.
And when they really want you, they are okay with that. And then you know, on top of that, that that's possibly a good client for you, someone who does really understand what a process takes. Because when we overwhelm ourselves, we don't do our best work and they don't get their best results, which is ultimately what they want. So I just have become more realistic with how I do things. I talk to my kids. You know, we have family meetings where, okay, what's your week looking like? Here's what my week is looking like. Okay, Friday night, we're doing this.
I love that.
Yeah. And I'm going to take you here. And it's, you know, what appointments are needed? Where do we need to go? And the time that we spend together is so concentrated because it's so planned. You know, my girl's a little bit older. And so we can do that. And we all share a calendar. So we all are aware of what's.
Oh my God. That's so nice. I like look forward to being able to do that with my girls. It's so nice.
The other thing that I tell them and I've told them since I began working is that I work for the family and I hope that you find something that you're really, really passionate about and you love and that nothing's ever more important than you are. I will come running for anything that you need.
Yes.
At all times. I do think it's great though that we're showing them that we have found something and that we love to do, and we're showing them
and that you're passionate about it. Yeah. It's such a gift, I think, for girls especially, to see, you know, to see your mom engaged and really excited and passionate. I try to never say I have to do something for work. I always say like, oh, I get to, because I really feel that way. I feel like it's like a blessing that I get to do it.
I agree. And they understand that mom works for the family, you know, and I'm lucky enough to do something I love. And when I really know that it's really sort of seeped in there, they will give me cards that sort of show up and say the most wonderful things. And it shows me how they do see what I'm doing, and they do see in part why I do it. Going back to balance, well, what does that mean to each of us, right?
Any given day is different.
Every day is different. But when you know you have planned activities or events that you're doing and scheduled things, and you know that for sure you turn off from 7 to 9 and maybe can go back to work at 9 if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's planning. I think planning is the most efficient way to get some sort of balance. You know, I found when I was first starting, I was trying to wing everything. It's like, okay, no, I'll get over there. Oh, no, that
me too.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that's what brought chaos, and that's not good for anything. You know, an organized chaos is one thing, maybe in a room, I like that.
Right.
But in our daily lives, I think that's really important. And then you can see what's coming and how to be prepared. So that creates balance, if you will.
Yeah, it's true. And it creates balance in the business, and it creates balance at home. I really agree with that. And I think that's excellent advice to anybody running a firm. I think just kind of implementing a process over time that you know works for you, mm-hmm. and cushioning in, you know, enough time with your deliverables, so that you're never kind of scrambling. I think it's so key, because it helps you be prepared in all aspects of your life.
It really does. And the more you do it, it can feel a little scary at first, because you think maybe you're going to miss something or...
Right.
Right? But you'll see that that's not the case. You'll see that there's a level of being able to do things much better, in a much better way, because you are prepared, or because, you know, the efficiency level has really increased. So that opens up room for other things, you know, so.
I love that. Well, something that we ask everyone on the show, it's called Take 10 at the end of a podcast. We do some rapid fire questions, and I'm just going to go really quickly. I love them because I feel like, you know, we ask a lot of design questions, but then I feel like it gives us like a little picture into who you are as a person too.
Okay.
What is your favorite food?
Gosh, Italian sushi. Sushi.
I love it. I feel like you're a really good person to go out to dinner with too.
Let's go.
What is your favorite drink?
I like a super dirty martini with 3 olives.
Yes, my kind of girl. I love it. Favorite hotel?
I like the Greenwich a lot in New York City.
Oh, yes. And the spa is so good. What is your favorite city?
London.
Yes. I think a lot of designers love London because the shopping is so good.
Oh my God.
And it's walkable. It's just like, it's the best.
Yeah. And it's so easy to go to other parts of Europe from there. And it's just.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
Favorite bedding. And I ask this because I feel like everyone in the industry is so particular about their bedding.
Oh my gosh. You're going to laugh. I like Cozy Earth.
Oh my God. I just bought a pair of Cozy Earth socks. And they're like my most favorite thing that I own. They're so soft.
I mean, it's just so soft. And the price point is amazing, I think. And so.
Yeah, it is. Oh, I have to try their bedding.
Yeah.
Tea or coffee, and how do you take it?
Ooh, I like PG Tips from being in London. It's my favorite.
Ooh, that's fancy. I love that.
It's the best. But it's like the combination of the. It's tea, but it's more like coffee in the sense that it's really heavy. It's like a light.
Yeah, it's stronger.
Yeah, it's stronger, and you drink in place of coffee.
Yeah, I do like an Earl Grey, like a heavy Earl Grey.
Yes. I'll do that
of coffee sometimes.
Yes, yes.
I feel like you're going to love this question. What is your favorite playlist?
Ooh, I love hip hop, but I'm in love. We play SZA at the studio all day, but then you got to throw in some David Bowie.
Yeah.
But I love Frank Ocean. Oh my gosh. There's so many.
What is your favorite weekend activity?
Honestly, I love being home. I love being home with like a design book.
Me too.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Because I think we're talking to people all day and it's so nice to just be home in your own space and just be able to unwind and relax. And also you learn when you're reading a design book, and it's about that, like, you know, always learning and changing type of thing.
And growing. Yeah. But that's really what I love, because I love design so much that I just can't get enough of it.
The last question goes perfectly with this. What is your favorite design book?
Oh, Livable Lux.
Yes. I'm glad you said that. It's so good. Everybody needs to get it. It's amazing. And what a labor of love to write a book. I mean, writing a book takes so much time, and I don't think people realize how much energy goes into every shoot.
Yeah.
And the styling and the photography, and it's really a labor of love. So a huge, huge congratulations on your book. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. I mean, there's so many that I love that I obviously said in good fun, but thank you for that. And you know, there's something too, I think we should tell our colleagues, like, don't only look at design books, but look at books on fashion designers, look at books on,
yes,
and look at travel books, books that tell you about different parts of the world. I mean, you see new colors, you see combinations of things you hadn't seen before, you see that you hadn't seen before. So yeah, I mean, there's so much education out there.
It's so true. Well, a final few words. What are you working on right now? Are there any new projects you can talk about?
Well, yes, the hotel that we were speaking about that I'm really...
Yes. Where is that? Can you say or not yet?
It's going to be in Los Angeles, but she's doing a whole sort of press story leading up to when she's opening it. So yeah, I'll leave it there because that's up to her as
yeah,
the owner. But that I'm really excited about because I haven't done that. So that's a really good one. And gosh, again, here I sound so politically correct, but it is the truth. All of the projects, the residential, you know, the retail, the commercial, all of those are happening this year. And I'm just thrilled to be part of all of them. And then my rug line is coming out soon. And I have a new furniture collaboration coming out. And
I can't wait to see it all.
Yeah, so I'm loving it.
That's amazing. We're going to keep our eyes peeled for all of it. Final question. Do you have advice for someone looking to define their own interior style? Like, they kind of don't know who they are yet.
Absolutely. I would say, and this Pinterest would be amazing for this. You start to pin things and images, or maybe furniture pieces that you, for whatever the reason, maybe you don't even know what that reason is, that you are loving. And then don't get to a point where you've pinned 5,000 images, because that just becomes more overwhelming and you're just going to be back in that place of like, oh, what's happening? But just a few pieces, and then start to define and pick out why you like those. So let's say, for instance, just as an example, you know, you pin 4 living rooms and they're all white.
Right.
Furniture and all that's different. But if you really dissect it and look at it, they're all whites. So then that's the thought, like, oh, I clearly like a white living room. You know, so you're able to pinpoint that. You know, maybe you are looking at powder rooms, and all of the 5 powder rooms that you've pinned, they all have something on the wall, whether it's a rich paint color or a wallpaper. And then you immediately know, I like a wall covering in the powder.
Yeah.
You start to dissect and pick apart what is important to you in regards to those images. And then you take step by step and write that down, and you have a list, like, I like white, I like wall covering, you know, and
that's
then you're...
That's so true though. It's such a good tip for people, because people really, you know, oftentimes they come to an interior designer and they're just kind of, they don't know what their style is. And I think that's really great advice. Well, Bridget, thank you so, so much for coming on. I feel like I could talk to you for 5 more hours. I had the best time.
Thanks for your time. I love it.
Where can listeners find more about you and the studio and everything?
Yeah, so on our website, and then in the book, of course. And, you know, come stop by the studio and say hi.
Yes, and we're going to link all of it in the show notes too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Bridget.
Well, no, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for including me and thinking of me. And we'll have our martinis in New York.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm so excited. That's a wrap for this week's episode of Talk Shop. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more thoughtful discussions and amazing guests. Make sure you follow on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify so you never miss an episode. And of course, follow me at Ariel Oaken. See you next week.